WJFF's fabulous auction is now online at WJFFradio.org. Bid, win, support your public radio station for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill.
And this is Radio Catskill, and right now it's time for Work Shift Live with James B. Huntington joining us live on the phone right now. How are you doing, James?
Good afternoon, Jason, and good afternoon, listeners.
So we're here, and good afternoon, and we're here again for Work Shift Live. It's where we talk about economics, and we get your perspective on the news of the day. So what news of the day are you looking at first and foremost right now?
Well, today a big thing hit with the stock market, or a noteworthy milestone, that Apple reached $2 trillion in market capitalization. Should be the largest company ever. And yes, it points up the Dow and the Standard & Poor's and such are around all-time highs. It points up how non-mainstream, really, the stock market is, as far as ordinary American people these days, that if you don't have savings, these numbers aren't really helping you anymore. And the percentage of people who have stock is down, and it's probably a worse indicator of the real state of the economy than it's ever been. As far as money goes, there's so much of it pooling up in a smaller set of places where it doesn't have any place to go. It's not being used for investments or building new businesses or whatever with the state of the country and the pandemic and all that. So they're looking for places to invest it. So about everything has gone up in the last few months anyway. Precious metals, as we talked before, and stocks and other derivatives, other items which involve betting on the values of other assets, and everything's doing well, but if you don't have savings, it doesn't carry through that you'll be prosperous if these things are doing well.
And even more so if you don't have income right now.
Yes, it doesn't help income. There's so much excess money right now in a few places where it's pooling up that it has to go into something, and the somethings that they're buying are competing with other large money sources. It doesn't have much to do with an old idea back when more people had pension plans and savings of some kind that they are doing well.
So is accumulated wealth in this instance, is that a problem? Or conversely, would letting, you know, taking some of that wealth and putting it back in the economy, would that help things now, or is that not what's called for?
It certainly would, but it's just such a bad time right now with everything up in the air for new business development, for upgrading factories and offices. We don't even know if we're going to have as many offices in, say, 10 years, even when the pandemic is over.
So if accumulated wealth was going to go back out there into the world to do something, then the question is, well, what's it going to do? What are people going to invest in that can actually be built right now?
Yes, that is the problem.
All right. Well, now, and this is the bigger question then, is about our recovery. And I've heard about the V-shaped recovery, and I've heard about, the kind of the flatline recovery, which is not a recovery. You've got another shape that you're looking at, a drunken square root. Is that right?
Yes. If you map the number of jobs on a map, it looks like a square root sign at an angle. It goes up, or it went up, and then it went way down. Then it went up again and is slowly, gradually improving. So someone noted that looks like a drunken square root sign. So that may be what we're having now. Although there'll be a lot of waves up and down in the angle that's slowly going up because we're getting all these starts and stops with the virus itself, where it pops up and goes away and increases and then doesn't increase, and there are regional differences and there are world differences, where New Zealand, which had no cases, had another outbreak, and they're still trying to figure out where they came from, if people got into the country somehow or if people were carrying it around and it was dormant for months. They still don't know. So there's obviously a great deal of uncertainty, and I'd call that an understatement.
In terms of these employment numbers and the extent to which COVID, you're saying the virus and also early reopenings are affecting those employment numbers. To what extent are we looking at employment numbers that are reflecting the seasonal shift, too? Like, isn't this typically when there would be more jobs than other times a year anyway?
Yes. Well, when people go back to school, the number of jobs increases consistently. That's why they have seasonal modification to the unemployment rate and such, because different times of year vary with how many people are working, and usually in late August it starts to go up again.
Now, the last time that we talked to you, we had a number that we were looking at, that it was the 20th week in a row of a million-plus jobless claims. And then by the end of the week, last week, we knew that we'd actually passed that in the other direction, meaning there was less than a million jobless claims.
Yes, we finally broke that. We got a week with fewer than a million. It's still a real indicator of how much churn, how many jobs are starting and stopping, much more than different other, than they are just going away or just being created. So in, as far as we can tell, back in July last month, there were something like 6 million jobs ended and close to 8 million jobs restarted or created. So it went up net when unemployment went down, but in the process, an unusual number of people either lost their jobs or they went back to work. So it's, you read something like it's gone up 1.8 million jobs, and that really doesn't mean that everyone else stayed with the same employment status. It's farther from that than it's ever been.
Right. Now, what story, I mean, there's the claims. That's a number you can look at. How many jobless claims were filed? I guess it means people claiming for unemployment. But is there another number that indicates how many people are actually out of work that would be employed if there wasn't a pandemic going on?
Well, there isn't. That's awfully hard to measure, because more than the pandemic is working here, and the effects of the virus mean that employers are having different needs for working and such, and a lot of efficiency and other things, the usual things of foreign competition, such as it is, and there are a lot of problems with work, and some good things going on here and there. So it's really it's always a large, complicated mess that the employment situation summary issued by the Bureau of Labor Statistics every month tries to cram down into some numbers and gives you an overall thing, but the reality underneath it can be a lot calmer than it is now, and that's what can be deceptive.
Something that I actually saw in an ad, it wasn't the news, so you gotta be careful what you see in an ad, but it was somebody was talking about the fact that they were working near a mall that was now essentially abandoned except for one store, which was Sears, which was about to be abandoned. And yet the parking lot was full of Amazon trucks. And in fact, Amazon was going to be building a fulfillment center where one of these big now closed retail stores would be. What do you think of that story?
Yes, well, it's fitting in a way. It's not. It's common. It's happening in a lot of places around the country where they are at least investigating and in some places starting to build fulfillment centers, places from where they can ship things based on these large footprints left by, in particular, Sears and JCPenney's, but also other department stores. We are changing. We're going through something where malls are not nearly as desirable as they have been in the past. We have a lot of anchor stores going out, which hurts a mall very badly when they lose the big stores at the end, which take up so many square feet.
Right.
One thing they are looking into doing is passing them along to Amazon, who can use these that much space in cities like this. It's kind of poetic that the new economy should replace things in the old economy in the same physical plant and such. So it could work. I mean, I don't understand how Amazon would decide what products to put in these warehouses, in effect, but they probably don't either. They have algorithms and powerful computer things to determine what people are likely to order if they order something else.
They've got the proprietary info that we don't have access to that will probably enable them to make those decisions.
Yes, it's things that even the humans at the top of Amazon don't understand. They plug it into the computer, and the computer says so-and-so, and so they know what to group together. So the idea, anyway, is for them to be able to ship more quickly. They've had a lot of chaos in their operations with the number of people or the number of online orders going up so much and not easily being able to handle them that they would like to be able to use this real estate, which is coming onto the market. And if nobody wants to put a big box store somewhere, there's not really very much they can do with the space. Right. It's with, and this is near the top of the list.
Right. Jim, in our last minute here, we have just a minute left. Do you want to just really quick give us your take on where we stand right now in terms of the relief negotiations, including the unemployment benefits?
Well, it's kind of a neutral week. We got this $300 or $400 unemployment benefits, but apparently that's from FEMA. That is from the same organization that provides money to places when they get hit by hurricanes, and there's only so much there, and $44 billion, they may well exhaust it. It's also not implemented now. I think Arizona is the only state where people were actually collecting this $300 bonus right now. It may only last a few weeks, and it may be a month or two or so before people even get that. So it's really a long way away from the $600 a week that the whole country had, which helps so much back there. So we'll see. It's a little bizarre that Congress has been in recess, but they're being forced to come back
to work on
this post office situation. So
okay,
maybe we'll have more action.
All right, great. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll talk about it next week when we do this again on Work Shift Live with James B. Huntington. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, listeners, and thank you, Jason.
All right, this is Radio Catskill.